Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
The topic is going to be about leaven and the kingdom of heaven. The text is going to be in Matthew 13, and we'll turn to there later because I've got kind of a little bit of a long introduction. And we're going to go over verse 33, 13 is going to be the key verse. Now, the key point to this message is responding to God's warning. What places on my heart is we've been studying in the book of Matthew, and this topic in the book of Matthew is all about the kingdom of heaven. And I start seeing this date come up where we've got the 4th of July coming up this Friday, you know, it's a holiday. And I couldn't help but see the comparisons between the kingdoms and governments, peoples, bondage, and freedoms under governments and under spiritual control. The Sunday Bible study on Matthew has had such a spiritual awakening for me. And with the 4th of July around the corner, the kingdom comparison seemed like a good subject to study, and this holiday seemed to fit perfectly with the teaching of this book. You know, as Christians, we both live in this country under this government, but also spiritually, we live in one of two kingdoms: Satan's rules of this world or God's ruling our heart, soul, and mind. The book of Matthew is all about the king and the kingdom of heaven. The fourth, and all it encompasses as a holiday, prompts me to think of our spiritual choices we make in celebrating the God of the Bible or serving the ruler of this world. You know, what was interesting to me as I did this study, looking back on the 4th, 1776, is the God-inspired written Declaration of Independence. The colonists of the 13 states declared their independence from the king and the kingdom of Great Britain. You know, they wanted separation. They wanted independence from an oppressive act of the king, King George III, and the kingdom rule of Great Britain over their lives. Does that sound a little familiar from our recent teachings in Exodus? God giving the Jewish slaves freedom from Pharaoh. The Declaration is a beautiful, concise document, divisible in five parts, that reasons for the cause of independence with 27 indictments against the King of Great Britain. It's an interesting comparison. We think of these five parts of the Declaration of Independence and our first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. We've got 27 indictments against the king, George III. We've got 27 new books in the New Testament. You can do a lot of interesting things with numbers. But what a comparison that I see between our independence in this new world and our independence that God declares to us. Do we see in our own lives a similar condition, being set free from the rule and the ruler of this world to the eternal, everlasting kingdom of heaven? The message today is personal and it's introspective. And the question is, what kingdom do I serve? Am I clearly in one or the other? Do I split my time between one and the other? Which kingdom has the greatest pull on my life and my lifestyle? That's something we can ask ourselves on a regular basis. Are my thoughts and desires of this world or the heavenly kingdom? These are the most important questions to ask ourselves and on a regular basis, because the consequences are tremendous and eternal. If you think these are not big, important questions and are not consequential, I hope as we study God's word, we'll have a better and clear understanding of God's declared word. And what is it about the ruler and rulers of this world? What happens to God's standards, his precepts, his authority, his righteousness, his guidance, and his laws? We have a complete declaration from the word of God on the two sides we face every day, the choices we make, and the rewards or failures as a result of our choices. There is a victory, and God clearly shows the way and the means for this victory, but also the warnings and dangers we face. I think we need a little victory song, all right, before we go to some Bible texts. So I'm not going to sing like Lowell because I don't have the singing ability. That's not my gift. But I just chose a couple stanzas from some songs, and there's some songs that may be familiar to you. Oh, thus be it ever, when freemen shall stand, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. Where's that come from? Star Spangled Banner, four stanza, written by Francis Scott Key, 1814. That's the foundation of this country. Another couple stanzas from another song. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in solemn prayer. And we had prayer in this country at one time, and it was sort of shouted from the rooftops, wasn't it? God bless America, God bless America, my home, sweet home, written by Irving Berlin in 1918. The last song here, a couple stanzas. I'm just taking some out of the whole song here. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. America, America, God mend thy every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. America, America, my God, thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. America, America, shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Catherine Lee Bates, 1895, America the Beautiful. Inspirational songs, and they should be, because what do? They remind us of a very special event, life-changing event in the world, the beginning of a new land in people. How can this also inspire us and remind us of our God-given grace and mercy from Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, who has made us children in his kingdom? We should celebrate with the same inspiration from those words above our position in God's kingdom. We were in bondage to sin, but we've been set free. Haven't we been set free from the old king and kingdom to a new king and kingdom, no longer subject to sin, destruction, and death? I'd like us to think of this fourth as a time to celebrate God's given independence from sin and death. What a great time to remember and celebrate what God has done for each one of us and what he has done for our country. This is a great news, worthy to celebrate and remind each other and to tell others that this fourth, we have another independence to celebrate. It should be such that we want to tell others about Christ. And this should be a time that we can do this. It's amazing that we can remember this event by a number, the fourth, or a month and a day, July 4th. We know what month and day it stands for. We may have forgotten some of our history or have been lazy with those events, but this date was an incredible time, place, and event. Momentous change of events, this July 4th, 1776. The building up to that day and the days that followed, the incredible change affecting nations and peoples of the world. Can you think of another event so great, changing nations and peoples, an act, a declaration affecting millions of lives? That is why I want to associate this July 4th, what God has done for us, declared us independent as we celebrate this 4th, declared us separate from this world of death and destruction. God separated us from sin and death to everlasting life. Think of this, separated from eternal damnation to a new heaven. Our God's declaration was granted to us by blood, by his blood, written to us by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God, that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection gave us a new life for any that would believe and receive this gift. And God gave us a new place for eternity, a heavenly kingdom on earth ruled by the King of eternity, the one that sacrificed, suffered unto death, paid our ransom, lived lowly and meekly for our sake. And what's his name? Jesus. Amen. Declared in the heavens as the only one able to open the book of life. That's the comparison I think we can look to this July 4th, this Friday, what God did for our country and what he does for our lives. And we should remind ourselves and celebrate what happened in the past to rekindle the passion and excitement in our lives today. Like other anniversaries, we do this to honor, remember, to follow, to do what others did before us with the same fresh passion. It's probably impossible to have fireworks every day. We don't hesitate to think about fireworks on the 4th or the 4th we associate with fireworks. Some of us have traditions of going to a fourth concert or travel to family and friends, see boat parades, fireworks, maybe a picnic, barbecue, time with family, friends, a three-day weekend off, and I love doing that. I can't wait for the 4th. Sleep in, ride a bike, go to the beach, eat, coffee, dessert, go overboard on all those things. And that's what I think of on this holiday and a three-day weekend. And those are most of my thoughts. A holiday, weekend, time off. But this 4th, I want to make a life change. I want to see this as a celebration of Jesus coming, my King, with his kingdom to this world and to keep his kingdom fresh and alive in my heart, driving me through each day before he comes back to earth or I leave to go to him. Now, I don't know about you if you drive the freeways much, but if you notice the freeway signs this week, July 1st, hands-free cell phone driving only. A warning so that we don't be distracted and on the cell phone while driving. Distractions come, but let's get off the cell phone, focus on God's promises, and keep our eyes and ears on God, not on the highways and byways of this world, all right? No more living for the king of this world. No more stepping in this world and then stepping back in God's kingdom when we feel like it. Now's the time for one king, one kingdom in our hearts. And I pray the same for everyone, all of us, that we make a declaration to Jesus our Lord and King. You know, if we read God's word, we see his warnings. And this will help guide and direct our lives to his kingdom and away from this world. Here is God's warning to us. What God has declared, given, and promised with authority can be diluted. It can be spoiled. It can be changed. It can be lost so that we're not celebrating what life change we had. And we go back to the old life in the old kingdom under the old ruler. Jesus taught and he reminded us in so many ways what was important. Reminders and warnings throughout the Bible. He warns us of life and death consequences, no small matter, and he repeats those warnings so they will penetrate our hardened hearts. And such warnings comes from the book of Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus used parables in these scriptures. He teaches us with these parables, these stories that teach us a principle about spiritual things, godly things. As I was reading Matthew 13 and reading other parts of Matthew, I went to Vernon McGee's commentary because he says Matthew is a key book in the Bible, chapter 13 is a key chapter, and verse 33 is a key verse. So I think it'd be good to study verse 13 in this chapter 33 and understand the principle God wants us to know. Matthew, in the book itself, chapter 13, has seven parables. And in that particular chapter, they all deal with the kingdom of heaven. And so Vernon McGee says that understanding Matthew is a key not only to understanding this part here, but all the other Bibles, all the other books in the Bible. And the Gospel of Matthew bridges the Old Testament to the New Testament, and there's more Old Testament prophecies in Matthew than the other Gospels. Matthew also introduces the church in this book, and Matthew uses the unique term kingdom of heaven 32 times and the word kingdom 50 times. The kingdom of heaven is the theme of this gospel, and there's three major discourses. But they all deal with the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is the law of the kingdom. The mystery parables, these seven parables, deal with the the kingdom of the heaven now. The Olivet Discourse refers to the kingdom in the future. But the passage that we're going to look to today is going to deal with the kingdom of heaven today. And these parables specifically, the one that we're going to deal with is going to be on leaven in chapter 13. Now, our background, just to get an understanding of this verse, we need to go to the first and second parables, because Jesus does interpret two of these seven parables. That's going to help us understand the one on the leaven. The first parable, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13 and look to the 13:8-23. He's going to explain the very first parable on the sower and the seed. Lowell mentioned that in his song here, in his testimony. And what's nice about this, that he explains this to us. So if you can turn to Matthew 13, verse 18-23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed in the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. When you look at these four types of fields and grounds, only one produces fruit. That is a warning to us. There's three conditions that the seed doesn't take root. It's a small percentage that does, a larger percentage that doesn't. And that's why he's warning us about our hearts being ready and fruitful to bear fruit. The other parable, about the parable of the tares, this is about the wheat and the tares, and it's similar in the sense that he's talking about what's going to be good and what's going to be bad. Who's going to heaven, who is not going to go to heaven. And this is in chapter 13, verses 36-43. And he, again, Jesus explains this parable to us. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He said in answer to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." All right? He's going to let the good fruit and the bad fruit grow together, the wheats and the tares together. He's going to wait, because they're hard to distinguish between the two. He's going to wait to the end of the time, and then it's really going to be too late to make a decision. You know, the tares are going to be thrown into the fire, everlasting fire, and only the wheat will be saved. In Matthew 13, verse 33, and this is the key verse, he speaks to them another parable, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened." We also see the same verse in Luke. Just a warning, there's another interpretation of the leaven, and some commentaries refer to this, the leaven being the gospel, and the gospel is placed in believers, and the church grows. But looking at to some other commentaries, Ver McGee, John Corson, and others, and looking at the context of leaven, I believe this is the correct interpretation. So this is what we're going to study here. First off, if this is a key verse in the key chapter of the key book in the Bible, then perhaps that may explain why there is some confusion in this parable or different interpretations. Why? Misleading. Why? What's the action behind that? Remember, this book of Matthew is on the king and the kingdom of heaven. Who would want to attack this king and his kingdom? Who lies, causes forgetfulness, complacency, confusion, division among the subject of the king and the ruler of the kingdom of heaven? Who wants to take God's subjects captive? Who would use God's word to tempt, lie, and mislead to sin and death? The devil? Satan? Remember, after Jesus fasted for 40 days, how did Satan tempt Christ? With the wrong interpretation of the word of God. And Jesus used the corrected word of God to defeat Satan. Now you say, Richard, what's the big deal? What's so important about this parable? Well, I'm glad you asked. Remember Herod. Why was Herod, King Herod, at the time of Christ's birth, why was Herod so afraid of a little baby? Because the Magi had told him that a king was going to be born. Jesus, remember, is king when he was a baby. He was a king when he was a carpenter. He was a king when he was discipling. He was a king. He was always king. And the Magi recognized that. And King Herod, who was an evil, wicked king, he recognized that. So he thought Jesus was going to take his kingdom over at that time. And that's why he was so afraid of him. He wanted to kill him. And that's what he wanted to do. And this scripture about the leaven is, let me go back here. That's why the king of this world wants to just mislead us. And it's the working of the devil to sort of misinterpret things. And this scripture here exposes the workings of the devil. And that's why it's important to understand this about leaven. The kingdom of heaven right now is reign of the heavens over the earth. Now, Jesus is going to come back to establish his kingdom on earth someday. But right now, the kingdom of heaven reigns in our hearts. That's where it is established. Those who come and believe. Matthew contains these three discourses that talks about kingdom old, present, and future. Matthew 4:17 says, "Repent, for the kingdom is on hand." The parables speak of the kingdom of heaven conditions on earth now, the time between Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and his return. The parables in Matthew speak of what the kingdom of heaven is like during this period of time we are currently living. So this is very applicable for us. One last thing before we get back to the scripture. In the first parable, Jesus leaves the house, it says this in the Bible, and goes to the seashore. The house represents the house of Israel, and the seashore represents the Gentile nations. The Lord leaves the nation Israel, and he turns to the world. That's us. And that's what you can see in this movement in Matthew's gospel, the movement of the kingdom, past, present, to future. Verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. The woman in this context is not good, but evil. She takes the leaven, and what does leaven represent? Leaven occurs 98 times in the Bible, 75 times in the Old Testament, 23 times in the New Testament. It always represents evil. In the Old Testament, leaven could not be offered to God. We have the feast of unleavened bread in Exodus 12. No leaven is supposed to be in the house for 7 days. No bread with leaven could be offered to God. And Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Matthew 16:6 says, Paul spoke of the leaven of malice and wickedness in 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Leaven is symbolic of bad, not good. So the woman takes the leaven and hides it in three measures of meal. Three measures of meal. Now, 3 cups of flour is enough for us to make a loaf of bread to feed 10 or so adults. These 3 measures in Greek sata and Hebrew siha, the woman uses in this parable, amounts to about half a bushel or 30 pounds of flour. That would be enough to make at least 40 large loaves of bread, enough to feed 400 people. So this is a large amount. This woman takes this, hides this evil, uncleanness, into this large amount of meal. Beware of the leaven. Now the meal, what does that represent? The gospel. The meal is made out of what? Grain or seed. And we read from the first parable that the seed is good. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. The seed is planted. In good soil, it produces 30, 60, 100. The leaven is bad. The meal is good. All right? It's that simple. Galatians 5, 7, and 10. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. We can see what leaven can do to our lives and our country. John, 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will lead to sin and death. We have the messages to the 7 churches in Revelation, warning from Christ himself, saying, your lampstand, your position in heaven will be removed unless you repent. 6 out of the 7 churches, warnings. And this is a warning to us. Can we see leaven in our own California Supreme Court? All right? Can we see leaven in our churches? Yes, we do. But you know what? I don't even have to look to the Supreme Court or to the churches. I can look to my own heart and see leaven in my own heart. And that's what God, I think, in this message wants us to look introspective and look at our heart on a regular basis, see if we're more of this world or of his kingdom. Our response is to remember what God did for us, remember what God has declared to us, remember our birth into his kingdom, and do those things we first did, and come into his kingdom now and trust and rest in the King of Heaven. In conclusion, I'm just going to read a couple of God's declarations for us. It's mostly in Matthew and in Romans. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Romans 6:18, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Romans 6:22, but now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. There are therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And there's more and more declarations of God that we can go to his promises that he's declared to us that we are separated, independent from sin and death if we hold to and stay to his ways. One last thing, Psalm 103. This is a great psalm by David, like so many of his prayers to God, so personal. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Okay, if we can just close in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that if we've been off track, Father, if we've not been with you lately, I pray that we would come back, that we would rest in your promises, in your declarations, that we would not be double-minded in one place of the world and one place in you, Father. I pray we would just rest in your house, Father, and receive all your promises, and that you would heal all of our diseases, Father. You meet all our needs. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.